Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Denise Salcedo, and we are here to talk about the go-home show heading into AEW Double or Nothing. That is right, the May 25th edition of AEW Dynamite. And we have plenty to talk about here because these last 2 hours completely flew by, and I sat down to watch this show, and next thing you know, I'm like, damn, I gotta go live. I'm running out of time, etc. We got plenty to talk about. I'm very happy about that because every time there's a show where there's lots to talk about, it just makes for a more entertaining show, to say the least. Before we get started, though, everyone, friendly reminder that today's show is sponsored by Russell Rumble. Thank you so much to my friends over at Russell Rumble for sponsoring this show. We'll talk more about them in just a second. But in the meantime, for those of you who are new here to this show, please make sure to take part in the chat at any point that you guys like. Send in your comments, send in your thoughts. If you want to make sure your comment, question, or statement gets read here on this podcast, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat. If you do send in a super chat, I'll make sure to read your comment for sure. But let's see what people are saying, everyone. We already got comments here. I think a lot of people, for the most part, what I'm seeing here is people saying this was a pretty good show and also that I look gothic. So there we go. We got two good things going on here today. Let's kick these things off, guys, because there's so much to talk about. Kicking things off. With our opening match of the night, we had Sean Spears versus Wardlow inside of a steel cage with MJF as the referee. And I got to tell you, I personally think that, I feel that this was probably one of my favorite things of the entire show. I thought that it kind of checked all the boxes in terms of things that I wanted to see happen in this match, happen in this feud, just things that keep the people hot and excited for the match that we're getting on Sunday between MJF and Wardlow. This was good. One, the crowd was extremely hot for this. This was the opener, so people were like really excited. You got to keep in mind, you have not only people traveling to this show to Double or Nothing and people that may have already, obviously people that already got there earlier, but you also have people from the West Coast that haven't attended an AEW event in quite some time. So you got a bunch of different people there that are legitimately excited for the big weekend. Maybe they traveled, they're diehards, maybe they're just seeing it for the first time. Whatever the case is, It's pretty cool to kind of get an excited crowd. So it's pumping me up. And I hope that the Las Vegas crowd is able to keep that energy all the way through until the pay-per-view. And I think they will, especially because so many people aren't getting there until Thursday, tomorrow. I'm not getting there until Friday. So there's going to be a lot of people coming in and out of Las Vegas for Double or Nothing. And on top of this, so the crowd was good. What the other thing that we are constantly talking about on this show is how well the presentation of Wardlow has been. I've talked about that numerous times on here, but it's always so scary. Not scary, but there's so many times where you see somebody get hot and then you see it kind of slowly like die down where, you know, they don't keep that momentum going, and they have successfully kept that momentum going for Wardlow, where I feel that each and every single week, he seems to be a little bit more over with the people. I think that the rise that we are seeing for Wardlow is probably one of the best that we've seen in some time. So I do want to take a second to put that over. The other thing that I want to talk about is MJF is constantly in these really good feuds. I think in terms of besides CM Punk, I think MJF is one of those guys where no matter what feud he's in, no matter what storyline he's in, he seems to have some of the most interesting storytelling, most interesting stuff each and every single week. Like, he is consistently delivering. But let's talk about this actual match and what went down. So clearly, we all knew that MJF was going to be pulling out every single trick from his book to essentially screw Wardlow. This was all just MJF trying to screw Wardlow. So if you came in here expecting some sort of legitimate match between Sean Spears and Wardlow, that is definitely not what we were going to get. What we were going to get here was a bunch of shenanigans on behalf of MJF and Sean Spears. And MJF like the ultimate heel that he is, he came in here not only with his short shorts showing a bunch of leg, his referee shirt was Burberry. He had the Burberry stripes on his referee t-shirt, and that one little touch completely popped me. I love that. But this essentially turned into a 2-on-1 where Sean Spears attacked Wardlow before he was even able to get his handcuffs off. MJF aligned, he was not a fair referee by any means. And he made sure to also add on and also further attack Wardlow alongside Sean Spears. There's a moment where Wardlow tells MJF to take off his handcuffs and MJF literally just spits in his face. Then finally, we get Wardlow. We talk about the presentation of Wardlow and how good it's been. We see Wardlow literally bust a Hogan, but instead of a t-shirt, he busts open the handcuffs and like rips them apart. And I like that because I buy that with a man the size of Wardlow, and we've seen him do some stuff that have shown his feats of strength, but for him to be easily ripping off these handcuffs, it was good. It just added to Wardlow and who he is and what he's supposed to be doing. He's a beast. He's a monster, etc. I love it. There was a moment where we also saw Wardlow lift up Sean Spears, and he's about to hit the Powerbomb Symphony, but of course MJF knocks him down, hits him in the back of the leg, and Sean Spears hits the C4, and even with a fast count, because MJF does a fast count, but even so, Wardlow is able to get out of that, and so the fast count does not work. Now, my favorite part in all of this, because you can't consistently, like if you, the thing that they had to do here was keep Wardlow strong. And by having him defeat Sean Spears in this match that was totally not in his favor, and he technically was wrestling two guys instead of one, you got to keep the guy strong. So how do you do that? How do you have him defeat Sean Spears when you also have MJF there as a referee? Sean Spears accidentally, he's the chairman, he accidentally screws the hell up and he hits MJF in the face with a chair that was intended for Wardlow. And I bloody love this. I loved Sean Spears, the way that he was selling it with his facial expressions, Wardlow creeping up behind him, and we got that really good camera work there. And MJF literally just laid out like a starfish that died. So it was really, really, I loved that. And I loved how Wardlow was able to successfully get the win in a way that was entertaining and pertain to the story that they are telling here. All of it to me made sense. And it was probably one of my favorite things that I saw here tonight on Dynamite. So I thought this was a win for everybody involved for this. And it seems to me, especially with the reaction from the people afterwards, people are really excited to see Wardlow get his hands on MJF for this match. So let's get some thoughts in here. Let's see what the people are saying. We're kicking things off with a massive super chat from Bridget Hewlett. Bridget! Bridget's fabulous. Bridget sends in a super chat saying, I'm so excited for Wardlow, MJF, and Hookhausen. This is going to be an awesome pay-per-view. There are so many matches that have been announced for Double or Nothing. I'm going to be doing a separate prediction show tomorrow on my YouTube channel, so I can't wait to talk about all of that. But I've been seeing a lot of people on my Twitter, because I have a giveaway, you guys know, for every major pay-per-view I do a pizza party giveaway and all of that, and I ask people like, hey, comment what match you're most excited to see. Aside from the obvious, which is CM Punk and Hangman Page, I would say the number two that I've been seeing so many people write in is MJF versus Wardlow, and the reason for that is they booked it in a way where you're legitimately behind this guy, you're behind Wardlow, but you also hate MJF so much that you want to see him get his ass kicked. So that is exactly, they built it up very well. Thank you so much to Bridget Hewlett for this very generous super chat. And let's get some more comments in here. This one is from Dave Goldberg, who says, badass opener, steel cage match. Completely agree with that as well. This is from Bonkers IFC, who says, really good show tonight, except Britt winning. I feel someone else needed to win the Owen Hart Cup. Don't need Britt winning everything. We'll talk about that in a second because I've been seeing a lot of people kind of talk about that, but we'll get into that in just a second. Anthony Navarro says, MJF and Wardlow are often the reason I watch AEW. Interesting. Cody bringing up the Shawn Michaels referee outfit with the shorts and everything for Wardlow. Yeah, that was all good stuff there. And let's get some more thoughts in here. This is from Sheldon, who says, only thing I would have changed is having Wardlow grabbing an unconscious MJF and making MJF count the pin. Oh, like grabbing his hand and doing the count. That would have been a good touch, actually. That would have been a nice little extra thing. Either way, good stuff all around. Andrew Cook sends in a comment saying, I would have Wardlow follow up this feud with a TNT title run. He and that title could help each other. Well, after Wardlow gets, I'm assuming Wardlow's going to get his win over MJF. That's my assumption as of right now. And what do you do from here? You built the guy up. You got to follow up with something. And you can follow up with gold. That would be a really good way. Or you follow up with another hot feud. You line him up with somebody else. We'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, let's go ahead and continue on from here. So there you go. That was the opening of the show. We have a backstage segment. So here we go, everybody. If you are going to AEW Double or Nothing, be warned. Be warned of the clothing that you wear that day. Because a couple of weeks ago, we had Hangman Page yell at a fan because he was wearing a CM Punk shirt. Then today, Chris Jericho attacked a poor innocent worker at AEW and who was wearing a Jon Moxley shirt, and he threw a fireball in his face. So what does that tell me? Do not wear a Jon Moxley shirt at Double or Nothing, or you will get a fireball from the wizard Chris Jericho in the face. Consider this your warning, everybody. Consider it your warning. All right, let's continue on from this. Let's get into the Adam Page CM Punk confrontation. Now, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun for numerous reasons. One, I'm expecting a good match. Two, you got a lot of star power in this. Adam Page, we already know, is a favorite, in AEW. He is definitely a favorite. He is more so the heel in this, I would say. Like, I wouldn't say he's like a full-on heel, but if you're gonna say who's more of the heel here in this situation, I would probably go with Adam Page. And then you have CM Punk, who is literally everybody's favorite and has been for a long time. Whole story there. This one had me torn. This one has me torn, and I've already made my decision, and I've said this before, CM Punk needs to win this match. But that doesn't mean that it's hard to make this decision, because I am an Adam Page fan, and we waited so long to see his AEW run as champion. For such a long time, we waited, and we finally got it. And, he had some good stuff there. We saw a lot of good stuff with Hangman Page. But if he loses at Double or Nothing, I think if you were to say, Denise, how would you rate Adam Page's run? I would probably give it like a 7 or an 8. So the fact that we never got a 10, at least in my opinion, for Adam Page, it makes me go like, damn, I don't want to see Adam Page lose, but I also don't think that CM Punk should not be winning. CM Punk should be winning. But with that being said, they did a good job of making me go like, damn, I feel like I would be happy with either or option. Regardless, I'm still rooting for CM Punk, though. That's the one where I'm more leaning towards CM Punk. But either way, I think there might be a lot more people out there that may be just as torn as I am, or maybe a little bit more so torn. But what we got here in this promo, I liked this. I liked this for a very specific reason. It has the, I feel like this, like what we've been seeing a lot from Hangman Page and CM Punk is that it's been brewing, and then it peaks, and there's this like anger that comes out of Hangman Page, and CM Punk is like, feeding off of that. And so you get this really good intensity between this, both of these guys. And that's what we got here tonight, because you had CM Punk basically going off on Adam Page and telling him how Well, let me rewind a little bit. So Hangman Page tells CM Punk, like, basically, I'm going to defend AEW from you, CM Punk. So he's going to defend AEW against CM Punk. That's the way he's painting this picture here. And then CM Punk starts telling him, like, why are you so angry? You're very, very angry. So he's pointing out the fact that Hangman Page is angry. And we've been seeing this the last couple of weeks. There was a major difference when we saw Hangman Adam Page. When we saw Hangman Adam Page basically do the GTS, CM Punk did not react the same way that Hangman Page reacted when he saw CM Punk do the Punk shot lariat. And so we saw two very different reactions. CM Punk getting into the head of Adam Page, our favorite cowboy. He's driven him a little bit upset, a little bit mad here. And then we have CM Punk basically telling him, like, you say all these things about AEW and how you built AEW, but he said, quote, those roads that you traveled to get here were paved by me. This house that you built, it was constructed with lumber from the trees that I chopped down. So I really liked that CM Punk kind of basically said, like, without me, you wouldn't be here. Without me and my impact in the industry, this all would not be happening, that sort of thing. So I really like this. CM Punk then gets fired up. He gets freaking angry, and he tries to get a handshake from Hangman Adam Page, and Hangman Adam Page is like, hell no, I don't want to shake your hand. Shoves him, and that's when you get, like, this peak, this moment, this intensity during the promo where suddenly, like, we ain't just talking anymore. No, we're pissed off. We got under each other's skin, and I liked that. So I like that they've been keeping it hot like this for both of these guys, because this is a legitimate match that I think that people that have been watching AEW are legitimately looking forward to. Because once again, you have a longtime fan favorite in CM Punk, and then you have a new fan favorite in Hangman Adam Page. So a little torn there between both of them. But let's get some thoughts, guys. How did you feel about CM Punk, Adam Page? Let's see what people are saying. Anthony Navarro sends in a comment saying, I think Paige may retain after what he said on the mic. Anthony Navarro also adds that fighting for AEW was a dope thing to say. I get it. I liked that too. We have a super chat from Pile Driver Finisher who says, what's Punk talking about? He didn't lay no foundation for Paige when he entered AEW after their success and is piggybacking off of other success. I think CM Punk is talking more so about the impact that he had in the industry. That's the way that I took that statement as. So I really like that, because at the end, because CM Punk is somebody that legitimately, you know, his work, especially for me, like, his work that he did in Ring of Honor was my favorite. That was my favorite. And then seeing him go and make this impact in WWE, and, you know, things didn't really work out there so much, but we did get to see a lot of really good stuff from CM Punk there. But everything that CM Punk did even before he got to WWE, I feel like you do have to credit that, because he's one of, when you think of guys like CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, and so many others, those are guys that, if it wasn't for their work and what they did in wrestling, you wouldn't have these long-term fans. You wouldn't have them. They wouldn't be there if it wasn't for those guys. If it wasn't those guys making this, like, love mark for you between the viewer and wrestling and what you're seeing, you wouldn't be here watching AEW. You wouldn't be here, you know, rooting for Hangman Page, etc. So that's the way that I kind of read into all of this. Let's get some more comments in here. This one is from Donut Coco, who says, I think Hangman should win. Interesting story to be told from Punk losing, I think. See, I just feel like the bigger story is CM Punk being gone from wrestling, being gone all of those years, and falling out of love with wrestling and re-falling in love with wrestling via AEW. And we've seen that, because we've seen that in those media scrums. We've seen the passion from CM Punk, and for him to come back, and, you know, he had that feud with Darby Allin, he had that feud with Eddie Kingston, he had that feud with MJF, and where do you go from there? you go to the championship. He worked his way up until this point. He didn't just come in and was like, hey, I'm CM Punk, give me the gold. No, he worked his way through these feuds, through these stories to get to this point. So I feel like the story here is more, it's larger. So that's why I feel CM Punk has to come out winning at Double or Nothing. But that's kind of where I'm at on all of this. Major Blood says, this segment got me hyped for the match. I think Punk is going to give Hangman the match of his life. However, I think Hangman needs to beat Jericho to solidify his reign and avenge his first loss. And let's get some more here. And this is from Daniel, who says that he was at the event and he was seen cheering and booing for both guys. Because there is, like I said, people are torn. Cody mentions that line where CM Punk made the blueprint. Yeah, I love that. When he talked about making the blueprint for, you know, guys to make a career out of themselves. Damn, that was good. This is from Kareen Hassan, who says, Danielson beat Cole, beat now Punk. Hangman is fighting the outsiders one by one. And this is from Aaron Murray, who says, CM will win. Mark my word. Let's see what we got here. Let's get some more comments. I feel like a lot of people are, because I thought a lot of people would be like, yeah, it's for sure going to be CM Punk, but I'm seeing some Hangman ones here. Zeno Hour says Hangman needs to win. A win over Punk will solidify Hangman as a star. They can run it back and have Punk win later. I don't know. Like, I get what you mean. I 100% get you, man. Like, solidifying him as a star, like, damn, you got to win over CM Punk. That's freaking huge. But running it back later, for if it was somebody else, I would agree with that statement a little bit more. But because it's CM Punk, I don't think they should rob the moment for CM Punk here at Double or Nothing. I think this is it. This is the moment. Colin says, I think Punk wins because wise. Let me reread that. He says, I think Punk wins. Business wise, it makes sense. And it sets up a nice return dream match between Kenny and Punk. Roberto Arsenal sends in a super chat. Thank you so much to Roberto, who says, Adam Page won me over. I'm rooting for him. Besides Hookhausen match, do you think a match from the pay-per-view card gets moved to the pre-show? I hope not. I hope not. I think the matches should stay as is. And these shows tend to be pretty long. And I don't mind it because, dude, like, people are paying a nice little penny for those pay-per-views, man. So they normally get stacked and they normally last a couple of hours. So I don't think any of the ones on the actual card will get moved back to the we'll get moved to the pre-show, to the buy-in, excuse me, but we'll see. Thank you so much to Roberto Arsenal, who's always sending in some very generous super chats on here. And let's see, we got more people predicting that maybe CM Punk's match will be this is from Polish Jen, who says Hangman is more interesting to me when he is down and out. If he loses, his story only gets better. I see where you're going with that, but that's also not a good thing. And I would tell you why it's not a good thing. Like, I get it. Like, always, I've said this before, like, the money is always in the chase, right? Like, we love to see the chase and we love to have that moment where it's like, ah! Like, you know, church bells ringing and oh my God, we have a champion and he finally made it. But he shouldn't be more interesting, in my opinion. He should not be more interesting, not as champion, than as champion, because then that lowers the value of the AEW World Championship. Call me old-fashioned, call me whatever you want, but I think that the champion should be the most interesting person on the roster. That's the way I want to see a champion as the, to me, a champion should be the biggest star of the company, should be the most interesting person on the company, should be having the best matches. That, to me, is a champion. Oh, I felt that. All right. That's how I felt about all of that. So I get what you're saying, but so that just tells me that, you know, maybe Hangman Page's reign isn't being seen like that by a couple of people. All righty. Now, we could talk more about this tomorrow when I do my prediction show. We got a super chat here from Murad Agami, who says, Punk came out, Punk came out in black and Paige came out in white. Does that mean a heel turn for Punk at the pay-per-view? Maybe I'm overthinking it. I was expecting more of a heel turn from Adam Page, because today they were like, oh, he's so angry and he's so mad. But at the same time, CM Punk's been pressing his buttons, man. Like, he was the first one to use his move. You know? CM Punk went there. So maybe they're tricking us here. Maybe you're on to something. Thank you so much to Muradagami for sending in this super chat. All right. Now we'll move on to the next thing. Next up, we had Kingston and Moxley versus Private Party. I didn't really care for this match. I thought this was probably one of my least favorite things from Dynamite today. That's not a shot or anything, because I thought the show was really good. So when you have a really good show, there's always going to be something that's your least favorite. This was probably my least favorite, because there was really only one thing that I legitimately remember from this match, and kudos to Mark Quinn for that Shooting Star Press. Other than that, I don't remember much from this match. I feel like Kingston and Moxley have sort of been having the same match over and over. So for me, it was like, it's all right. It's all right. Afterwards, we saw the Jericho Appreciation Society and the BCC brawl. Okay, cool. But it's not like I've never seen a brawl before. We've seen plenty of them. So this was, to me, this was just there. I think there could have been a little bit more there. Could have been a little bit more. It was all right. It was okay. It was all right. That's all I got to say. There's nothing else there to add. All right. But now, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Let me take a second here. So please indulge me if you will. I want to talk really quickly about our sponsorship here with WrestleRumble.com. Here we go. You don't have to be in Las Vegas to win some money. Put your wrestling predictions to the test. Head on over to WrestleRumble.com and enter the Pick'em contest ahead of AEW Double or Nothing. Not only do you get to have some fun, but you also have a chance of winning $1,000. That's right. You can get yourself some Burberry stuff just like MJF. How it works is you can purchase entries and answer prop questions like, will the MJF versus Wardlow match go over or under 16 minutes? Or which individual wrestler will win the pinfall or submission victory in the Young Bucks versus the Hardy Boys match? The person who gets the most right will go home with $1,000. The cutoff time to enter on WrestleRumble.com is on Sunday the 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Once again, the cutoff time to enter over at WrestleRumble.com is on Sunday the 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Seriously, do not miss your chance to make some dang money. Visit WrestleRumble.com or at WrestleRumble on Instagram and Twitter for more information. All of the links are in the description box below. And also, please go and tell the sponsors, tag them on Twitter and Instagram. Tell them like, man, I heard about you on Denise's show. It really, really helps me out. And this is a short sponsorship for right now, the next couple of months. And I want this to be a longer sponsorship. I want them to know they're getting their money's worth. So please give them a shout out on social media. And if you want to have, like I said, a little extra fun, all in good fun, check out Wrestle Rumble at WrestleRumble.com. Alrighty. Arcade Lion says, what's with the Southern accent? I don't know. It just came out and I was hoping nobody heard that, but thank you, because some people did. But you know what? That just tells me you were paying attention. So I'm glad to hear that. Alrighty, guys, let's move on from here, because we got FTR, Rocky Romero, Trent Beretta to talk about. This was a fun tag team match here. There was a couple things that I liked, and obviously we got a couple of surprises here. For the match itself, I think my favorite, literally, that we saw, I loved when Dax had Trent Beretta kind of like in the corner of the ring, and he just starts like hitting him with a bunch of combos of like strikes and uppercuts. I really loved that. That was probably my favorite little thing that we saw there. I loved the double knees from Rocky and Trent Beretta to Dax Harwood. That was good too. They hit the strong zero. A nice little matchup there with some good tag team action. But this match ended a little bit differently here, because out of nowhere, We had New Japan Pro Wrestling's Jeff Cobb and the Great Okan of the United Empire. They ran in and attacked both teams, causing a DQ. And everybody was like, oh, shit, what? Obviously, we have, the Forbidden Door coming up in a month, really. On June 26th, we have the Forbidden Door. So I was just talking about this with Sean earlier. I was like, man, when are we going to get some matches going? When are we going to start getting some action going for this show? And it seems like tonight was one of the first moments that we got for that. They basically made their intentions clear when they held up the Ring of Honor championship belt. So this is going to be interesting. I want to say, first and foremost, focusing on Jeff Cobb, I'm a big fan of Jeff Cobb. I got to know him because we did an interview a couple of years ago, but in order to do that interview, we had to drive from El Segundo to Hollywood. And if you're here in Southern California, and this was probably around like 5 p.m., you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm trying to get at. Driving from El Segundo to Hollywood is nothing but damn traffic. I was sitting in traffic for about an hour and a half of Jeff Cobb, but we got to do so much talking. It was like the pre-interview before the interview. And I've been a big fan of Jeff Cobb because I just love his style of wrestling. I love the intensity, the power that he brings, and how he's able to have these great matches with just about anybody. So I'm a big fan of Jeff Cobb. With the Great Okan, I feel like either people, like for people that may not know him, I feel like people are either going to really like him, or some people might be a little bit put off just because his offense is a little bit more unorthodox. So I'm curious to see what the reaction for those that are maybe not so familiar with the Great Okan are, how they're going to react to him. But regardless, this was a fun little surprise, a fun little addition to this match, and I liked it. It gave us a little something to talk about here. Again, big fan here of Jeff Cobb. And you know what's crazy too? I was thinking about him because when Rocky Romero came out, I was thinking about how I kept seeing Rocky Romero at Dallas, Texas. So I saw him everywhere. I swear to God, I saw Rocky like at 100 places. I would go somewhere and be like, the first time I saw him, I was like, hey, yo, hi, how are you? You know, doing the catching up thing. Then we'd see each other at another place. Like, you're here too? Sup? Then we saw each other. I swear to God, we saw each other like 5 times. In like 2 days. So it was really funny. But anyways, I was thinking about that. And then for some reason that led to me thinking about Jeff Cobb. And then 2 minutes later, he comes out on Dynamite. And I was like, holy shit, what the hell just happened? He was literally in my head. I was thinking about how Jeff Cobb really likes Oreos. And that's what I was thinking about. And then 2 minutes later, he comes out. So yeah, just a side little note there. Let's see what people are saying here. This is from Haj Gulashi, who says, howdy y'all. Found out a local spot shows Dynamite on Wednesday. It was a blast watching with other folks. Oh, that's dope. That's really cool. That's really, really cool. I like that. And Mike New York says, do we need another con? Well, we got so many Adams. We got so many Cages. We got so many Bryans. Now we got so many cons with a K. How does the other guy spell it? Oh, yeah, also with a K. Sorry, I was thinking, I was like, well, how does he spell con again? All right, I'm getting off on a tangent. Let's continue on here. All right, so we're clearly making our way to Forbidden Door, so expect more matches and more things to be happening within the next couple of weeks because we are getting there and time is running out. Time is of the essence. All righty. We got a super random, by random I mean like the verbiage of this promo from the Hardy Boys was super freaking random. We had Jeff Hardy making goat sounds. We had Matt Hardy going off about how they were better than the Young Bucks at every single stage in their lives, including when they were babies, which was hilarious as hell. He said, we were better than you as babies. We're getting baby wars now. Baby Bucks, baby Hardys. I love it. Then He even referred to themselves as middle-aged and extreme. When I heard that, I legitimately had to rewind because I'm like, there's no way he just called himself middle-aged. I rewinded and Matt Hardy did indeed call themselves middle-aged. But this was funny. This was freaking hilarious. I loved this promo. They called the Young Bucks, what did they say? They called them like bootleg Hardy Boy, something like that. They called them like bootleg or something. I loved all of this. I loved all of the shots that they threw at the Young Bucks while also bringing like a really funny promo. And I swear to God, Jeff Hardy threw me for a loop when he started making goat sounds. I loved this. This was funny. This was good stuff. This was very, very good stuff. All right, let's see what else we got here. This is Dave Goldberg says, shit, then I'm middle-aged, LOL. Damn. Oh, that sucks. Don't worry, I'm getting there too. At some point, I'll be there. All right, and this is from Dale Arazi, who says, with Forbidden Door coming soon, I wonder if they're going to start setting up that pay-per-view during Double or Nothing. Well, they started today. We might get like a thing or two at Double or Nothing. I don't see why not. I feel like it would make sense to do at least one or two things at Double or Nothing that ties into that because you're going to have a lot of people watching. That's going to be the next big pay-per-view. You want to promote it. So I don't see why not. All right. Oh, thank you, Arcade Lion Cosplay. That's what he said. He called them cosplay versions of the Hardy Boys. He called the Young Bucks cosplay versions of the Hardy Boys. Thank you. That's the word that I was looking for. And Zeno Howard says, Matt's promo is great. Jeff's was a little weird. I think it was a little bit weird because we're not really used to seeing Jeff Hardy talk like that. I think that's why it felt a little bit weird because we're just not used to Jeff Hardy in these situations, I think. All right, moving on from here, we got Jungle Boy versus Ricky Starks versus Swerve Strickland in a triple threat match. A little preview of what we're going to be seeing at Double or Nothing when they all get with their boys and they do that triple threat tag team match. Dude, this was a fun matchup. This was so much fun. Fast pace, all the guys going out there, hitting some dope spots. Swerve landing on his feet after Jungle Boy, I believe it was Hurricanrana that he tried doing, and Swerve landed on his feet. After that, a spear from Starks, followed by a Michinoku driver from Jungle Boy. Really, really good fast-paced action is what we got here. So I was a big fan of this matchup. We saw Swerve eventually get the win with the stomp. Dude, I have nothing to complain about here. Absolutely nothing. All three guys, to me, were absolutely impressive. I'm glad Swerve Strickland got the win. I think he definitely needed the win a little bit more than maybe the two other guys. So this was perfectly fine. Afterwards, we saw their partners come out. Hobbs, Luchasaurus, Keith Lee. They come out. They join their boys. And then we see Keith Lee literally toss his body on top of all the other guys. And everybody is like, oh, shit. Because anytime Keith Lee could do the most basic generic things and we're going to pop because it's always impressive because he's like a super big dude and it's going to be impressive. Anyways, this was perfectly fine, entertaining, all three guys. I'm a fan of all of theirs. I'm a fan of all of them. Mr. Corona says, I hope I see the triple threat with the beefy boys on Friday. Lots of beefy boys. Oh my God, I love the beefy boys. Roberto Arsenal says this was his favorite match of the night. I feel you, man. It was good. It was entertaining. I don't know what else to say. Sean Sirani says this match was way better than I expected. It got me hyped for the tag match when I originally didn't care about it. I care. I see what you're saying because I feel it's not that you don't care about it. It's just more so that no one's really talking about it. Because people are so busy talking about Hangman Page and CM Punk and MJF and Wardlow, and they're talking about the Owen Hart Cup and the finals for both the men and the women. So there's a lot of other stuff that I think people are talking about. Like, we're talking about the whipped cream right now. We're talking about the cherry and the whipped cream. Like, we haven't gotten into the ice cream portion of this sundae that we got for this Double or Nothing build. A card, excuse me. So I feel like it's not that we didn't care about it. It's just that it's not at the forefront of our minds. But it's going to be a good one. I think it's going to be one of those sleepers for sure. All right. After this, we found out that Scorpio Sky is going to be getting a new TNT championship belt on Friday. So that's happening. Now, Before we move on and talk about the other topics here, really quickly, if you are new to the show and this is your first time here, thank you guys so much for coming in here, popping in, giving me a chance to chat some wrestling with you. I thank you all. I appreciate you all. I do want to remind you all that this Friday, I will not be here because I am going to be in Las Vegas, but on Monday, I will be here doing an AEW Double or Nothing post show. So on Monday, I believe at 1:15 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I will be here to talk about Double or Nothing. And I will be talking about my live experience along with whatever goes down in the media scrum, whatever the fallout of the event is, and also talk about the vibe, the actual experience from going to the event. So I will be here on Monday doing that. Tomorrow, I will be on my channel doing a prediction show. So it'll be really cool, really chill, really laid back. Then next week, I will be back on Tuesday for NXT, Wednesday for Dynamite. Hold the phone. Next week on Wednesday, I will not be here. I'm probably going to do a stream on Thursday because I'm going to be at Dynamite. That is right, because they're making their Los Angeles debut 20 minutes from my house. Freaking finally, 20 minutes from my house. I have traveled to each and every single AEW event that I have attended at least more than 2 to 3 hours to get there. This is the first time where I'm driving 20 minutes to watch AEW. I'm very, very ecstatic about that. And I freaking love the Forum, okay? It's easy to park. It's easy to get out. They got good food too. So people, if this is your first time going to the Forum, they got some pretty good chicken strips in case you're wondering. Also, you do need a clear bag to get in. I didn't know that when I went to the Billie Eilish concert. So it's best you know that now. I love the Forum. Then on Friday, so I'll probably be doing a post show on Thursday. And then Friday, I will be at Rampage in Ontario. So I'll figure all that out. I'll figure all of it out. All right, we got a lot going on. And for those of you guys asking in the chat, yes, I will be vlogging all of this. Now, Thunder Rosa. So we got a Thunder Rosa promo. And this one, I think I was very, how do I put this? I didn't say like, not on edge. I was more so like very focused. I was very, very focused during this because the Thunder Rosa Serena Deeb feud has not necessarily been getting the best reactions from fans. And that's, you know, something that's not, it's not easy because this is Thunder Rosa's real first, aside from the, I don't want to count the Nyla Rose story because it was so quick and it was just like really quickly, like they had a beef for like 2-3 weeks. Then they ran right into Battle of the Bouts. It didn't feel major, right? Like the Nyla Rose storyline did not feel major. So this to me is Thunder Rosa's first major feud as champion. And this is with Serena Deeb. And we know it's going to be a good match. That's not even the issue. But a lot of people have been criticizing this feud. And there's been a lot of criticism towards Thunder Rosa and her promo skills and all of that and how they've been treating her as champion and kind of making it feel like an afterthought. So when they promoted that Thunder Rosa was going to be cutting a promo tonight, I was excited because I'm like, okay, like she's going to get her opportunity to kind of go out there and prove the haters wrong, prove them wrong. And so she went out there today and I was like, okay, like listen up, let's be ready for this. And I really enjoyed this promo. I think that this one was probably the strongest one that we've seen from her since becoming champion. She went out there and this is the one thing that there's two things that I think should have been done differently, but I'll talk about those in just a second. But I do want to talk about what she actually said in this promo. She basically says that all Serena Deeb does is complain and point her fingers at other people. She tells her to look in the mirror and instead blame herself. She tells her that she used to look out for Serena Deeb, but she's not anymore. And she says that on Sunday, she's going to be bringing her war paint and teaching her respect because she disrespected Tony Schiavone and she disrespected her mentor, Dustin. So Thunder Rosa is pissed about that, and she talks about this in this promo, and then she says that she's going to haunt her forever. So there was two things that I think could have been done differently. One, and I said this last week too, this should have been out in the ring. They've been keeping Thunder Rosa in the same little station there by the ring and like by the stage entrance. I feel like they need to not do that anymore with her. She is a champion. Put her out there in the middle of the ring. Have her be presented as a star, because I almost feel like when you have her go out there and always just do the promos there, it feels like something that is rushed. And then there was sort of I think there was an error too at the end, because I think production kind of messed up. They thought she was done cutting her promo and they cued her music, but she wasn't done yet. Like, you can still hear her trying to get out her last line. And then finally the camera pans back to her, and finally they, you know, give her the mic once again, and she's able to finish out her promo. So there was one like minor production error, but other than that, there wasn't anything. Like, they could have just put her out there, though, in the ring, and I think it would have just felt more impactful, especially heading in to the pay-per-view that is happening on Sunday. So those are the only tweaks that I personally would have done for this. But other than that, I did think that this was a solid Thunder Rosa promo. And let's get some super chats in here. This one's from Sheldon Jackson, who says, that promo tonight from Thunder Rosa was amazing. I felt the passion and fire from her and was drawn in. And that's the thing. Thunder Rosa is really, really good at that. Now, I have seen her cut promos, and I'm not talking about, I don't want to call them promos. No, I'm not going to call them promos. Rather, a speech. There you go. You guys know that I work with Thunder Rosa at Mission Pro Wrestling, and she, I've done what, like 5-6 shows now, I believe, somewhere around there. I've done a handful of shows. If you were there to listen to the things that she says to the talent, like these speeches, these very, very motivational speeches, you would be like, holy shit. Like, damn, holy shit. Because she has the gift. She has the gift of being passionate and making others people feel that passion through her. You feel that. I swear. I experienced it 3 times already. 3 times where I'm sitting there and we're like, oh, Thunder Rosa's gonna talk. And I'm listening. And all of a sudden I'm like, yes, yes, that, yes. And you come out feeling like super empowered. So she has that. She has the gift to basically get people to really listen and feel her words. So that's why when people were kind of trashing her because of the promos and this and that, I'm like, nah, dude, like, she has it in there. Just give her the time. Don't rush anything. Treat her like a champion. Present her as a champion. And she's got it in the bag. She's got it in the bag. All right. And we got a lot of people just putting over Thunder Rosa in this chat, and I appreciate all of that. All right. Let's go ahead and move on, because after this, we got Toni Storm versus Britt Baker. And this was to determine who would be going to the finals of the Women's Owen Hart Cup Tournament. The finals, which are going to be taking place at Double or Nothing. And this match was a match that I was looking forward to, really, because I know what Toni Storm can do in the ring. I know what Britt Baker can do in the ring. They both are legitimate stars in their own right. And I thought the match was pretty decent. I liked when they went to the outside. I loved how Toni Storm, I would say, dominated most of the match. When they were on the outside of the ring, I loved all of the uppercuts that she hit on Britt. You know, when we came back from picture in picture, she got her with a hip attack right inside the ring and all of that. We saw Jamie Hayter come out, and I thought for a second that she was going to be I wasn't expecting Britt Baker to win this match. I thought Toni Storm was going to win this match. And so when Jamie Hayter came out, I thought, man, are they going to have Jamie Hayter essentially cost Britt Baker the match here? That's kind of what I was expecting. But it ended up not happening that way. Instead, at one point, we do see Toni Storm. Her nose gets busted open and all of that. We see Toni Storm. She's had it with Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter was on the outside of the ring, so she punches her in the face. But the finish, I didn't like the finish. I thought the finish was sloppy. Britt Baker essentially used the ropes for her advantage to keep that to keep Toni Storm down and get the 1-2-3. I thought the finish was a little sloppy, and it didn't have the, like, it didn't feel like a finish. It didn't feel like a proper finish. It didn't have the moment where everybody's going like, yes, like there it is. It didn't feel like a proper finish. So I didn't think that it did this match justice, and I didn't think it did the tournament justice either. So I was not a fan of the finish for this match. But either way, we now have Britt Baker advancing to the finals. She's either going to be facing Ruby Soho or Chris Statlander. We'll find out on Friday, because that is the match that is taking place at Rampage. So once we find out there, we'll know the official match for Sunday. Now, I did see a couple of people on Twitter and a couple of people here on the chat say that they did not like the fact that Britt Baker won this. I don't mind it, but I did think that it was going to be Toni Storm, because Toni Storm, you know, she's the new kid on the block. Britt Baker, she's held gold. She's been at that mountaintop. Toni Storm's just getting there. She's getting the wheels going for her in AEW. But so I did think that it was going to be Toni Storm moving forward. But at the same time, I don't mind it, because at the end of the day, Britt Baker was is such a huge part of the AEW women's division. And she's the person that, you know, aside from, you know, Thunder Rosa goes out and she does like all of these, you know, she goes out there and she meets with the communities and all of that. But they do send out Britt Baker to do a lot of the, like, the mainstream cool, like the mainstream stuff. Like, she's the one that's going to be doing carpool karaoke and all of that. So she's also important in that way. And she's good on television and, you know, on the mic and in the ring too. So, and I'm always the person that's like, I don't feel like when someone's champion and they're not champion anymore, I don't want them just to kind of forget about that person and treat them like dirt. So I do also like that Britt Baker is still being held, being kept in that mountaintop. She's being kept in that mountaintop. So I was cool with Britt Baker continuing this, but I do get why people wanted Toni Storm to essentially get this win here. But we got people saying that it's going to be Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho. And I think it is also going to be Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho. But then at the same time, we've already seen that match though. That's not a new match, but we've seen it. We've definitely seen it. And we got more people saying that Toni Storm should have won the match. Let's see what else. Mega Daffy says, same finish as always. Dave Goldberg says it's going to be revenge for Ruby. Miro Rodriguez says, this was actually my fave Brit match so far. I felt like she only had this match, this much chemistry with Sheeta. Just me, though. No, she had some, she's had really good matches with a lot of people. I feel like I've seen a lot of good matches, especially with the work that she's done with Thunder Rosa. That was definitely iconic there. I don't feel like I can compare Toni Storm and Britt Baker versus Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. Two different things for me, at least. And that's pretty much it here. But before, I just want to make sure I got as many comments as I possibly can. But let's go ahead and jump into our last and final match. Actually, did I need to bring this up? Let me see. No, I pretty much explained this whole thing. We're going to be seeing Britt Baker and Ruby and Chris Statlander. Or Ruby or Chris Statlander, excuse me. I just wanted to make sure I didn't skip anything over with the tournament. All right, main event. We got Kyle O'Reilly versus Samoa Joe for the to figure out who would be going to the finals for the men's Owen Hart Cup tournament. This was an okay match. I thought it was perfectly fine. Winner would go on to face Adam Cole. This was fun. We saw Kyle O'Reilly get the Fujiwara armbar locked in on Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe gets out of it. Samoa Joe hits an awesome enziguri kick. It's really, really good height on that. So it's impressive because he's a big guy. So that was good. And Joe locks in the sleeper, gets the win, and he's going to be moving on to the finals to face Adam Cole. Now, I do kind of feel, and I know this isn't a prediction show, but I do kind of feel like I'm looking forward to the match. Samoa Joe versus Adam Cole, I think, is going to be really good. But part of me wonders if it's too predictable. Do you think this match is too predictable? Like, I feel like we're going to be seeing, what's his face, Satnam Singh and Sanjay Dutt and Jay Lethal come out and essentially cost Samoa Joe this victory. And I think that's how Adam Cole is going to be getting his win. And my whole thing is, like, I don't feel like that should be playing into this tournament, because part of the tournament is to, like, respect and honor Owen Hart. So you kind of want to see like a straightforward tournament with hard hitting action and none of the shenanigans stuff. I mean, we did get it in the women. So I almost feel like that's what we're going to get for the men. I don't think that Samoa Joe should be defeating Adam Cole in this. I think that Adam Cole should be winning the tournament if it's going to be Adam Cole versus Samoa Joe, but I don't want to see Samoa Joe lose, right? So I think that's why they're going to do the whole maybe including these other guys coming in here to essentially cost Samoa Joe this victory. But personally, if Adam Cole's going to win, I would like it to be a clean finish. If it's Samoa Joe, clean finish too, but I don't think it's going to be that way. I think if anybody's getting a clean finish, it'll probably be Adam Cole. So it does kind of feel a little bit predictable there. We got a bunch of people saying the exact same thing, that it's going to be Adam Cole. We got Eastside Motel 6, who's shocked that Kyle O'Reilly didn't win this. I did think they were going to go that direction. I think the second that Adam Cole made it to the finals and you saw that Kyle O'Reilly still had a shot at making it to the finals, I think a lot of people felt that it was going to go that direction. And we got Prince, who says Adam wins cleanly. Roberto says Cole wins the match. Jay Lethal jumps Joe after the match, possibly. Zeno Hour predicts Joe chokes out Cole. Yeah. Alrighty, so that's pretty much what happened today on AEW Dynamite, everybody. Wow. All right, we got a lot. We talked about a lot. This is going to be a big weekend. And before I go, once again, I will be back tomorrow, but on my channel to do an AEW prediction show. We talked about the major matches today, but there's still so much more to talk about. So if you want to come out, hang out, and talk about AEW Double or Nothing, you can. That'll be tomorrow. But other than that, I will see you back here on Monday. I will see you back here on Monday for an AEW Double or Nothing post show, more so of a live experience versus a post show, a live experience / post show, whatever you want to call it. Alrighty, everyone. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. Please help me spread the word. If you enjoyed the show, tell people, share it on Twitter, tag me, I'll retweet you, all of that good stuff. Give this video a like, subscribe to F4W Online. I'll see you guys later. Oh, one more thing. Head on over to youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. That's my YouTube channel because I got some interviews lined up and I want to make sure you guys see them. So other than that, that's it for me. Bye, guys.